Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Speedy Digest, as we have an awesome show scheduled for you guys tonight, as we have Brendan Poole, who will be calling in later, and we'll also have some audio stuff from some drivers also for you tonight, so some good treats for you kids out there. And first of all, before I throw it over to Glenn to begin our open roll report, Glenn, how have you been lately?
Well, not too bad. Weekend was pretty good. Got a chance to recharge some batteries, and then of course this week is kind of busy, and great to I guess for another week, and looking forward to this weekend.
Sounds good, and I am too. It was an awesome week. Sucked the Royals, lost the World Series, but it's all right. But enough of that. Tom talks about some racing, and Glenn, I'm going to send off for you, as you are hitting leadoff tonight with the open roll report, so take it away.
All right. So, we start things off in the F1 series. They recently had a race at Circuit of the Americas, the Formula One United States Grand Prix, and guess who won? That's right, Lewis Hamilton won yet again. It was another Mercedes front row lockout, and Nico Rosberg led for like the first 25 laps of the race, and then Lewis Hamilton just rocketed by him, and by 4.3 seconds took home the win. Hamilton did win the inaugural race here in 2012, so he's no stranger to victory lane here, and he's no stranger to victory lane this year. So let's take a look at the finish in order and see where your fair driver finished, and there's a couple of big stories that are coming out of here. Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg share the first and second, and Daniel Ricciardo, who had a thriller of a drive, finished in the third spot to round up podium. Felipe Massa and Valtteri Bottas finished fourth and fifth. Fernando Alonso finished sixth. Sebastian Vettel seventh. Kevin Magnussen, good finish for him, in eighth. Pastor Maldonado finished ninth, scoring 2 points right there. And Jean-Éric Vergne in the Toro Rosso finished in the 10th spot. Further on back we go. Roman Grosjean finished 11th. Jenson Button finished 12th. Kimi Raikkonen finished 13th. Esteban Gutierrez finished 14th. Daniel Kvyat finished 15th. And the cars that failed to finish the race. Nico Hülkenberg on lap 16 had an engine failure, pulled right off the racetrack, and it gave up the ghost. And for the third year in a row, Adrian Sutil could not complete a single lap around the racetrack, as he got into a little accident with Sergio Perez. The accident was investigated, and I believe Perez is getting a 7-grid spot penalty next week, or this coming week here in Brazil. And some minor notes here. Jenson Button qualified P7, but dropped 5 grid spots because of a gearbox change. Kvyat had qualified P14, but was dropped 10 grid spots for an engine change. And, of course, we all know about Vettel, who started from some pit road because of the power unit change. So, once again, another win for Lewis Hamilton. So, where do they go from here? Well, the next race we're about to do a little preview on. The Formula One series heads off to the famed Autodromo José Carlos Pace, or Interlagos, between the lakes, for the Formula One Gran Premio Petrobras do Brasil 2014. On Interlagos. This 15-turn circuit has seen some history in the past. It was also where Ayrton Senna captured a win for the first time in his home country, and Brazil just knows how to do their sport. This track is almost a roller coaster track. Not like a Spa-Francorchamps, it's a little bit smaller. But here are some good tapping opportunities. If you're going to pass here, then you definitely want to get through turns 1 and 2. So there's some good passing zone. And another good passing zone would be turn 5, heading up into turn number 6 past the speed lounge. A good place also can be on the front stretch if you set your competition up pretty well. There are two DRS activation zones for this race. The first one, the activation zone is actually before turn 2, and then as you come off of turn number 3, you can activate it to going down the Retta Opastra straight going into turn number 4, and the second one, the second DRS detection point is above turn 13, and the activation zone for the next DRS. Excuse me, if I have the hiccups here. Was at the beginning of turn 15, which switched the onto the front straightaway. 71 laps will make up the running here, and the lap record was set by Juan Pablo Montoya in 2004 at a 111.473. The world of F1 also heard about this. Fans of Felipe Nasr rejoice. Felipe Nasr has signed with the Sauber team next year, and will also drive alongside ex-Caterham driver Marcus Ericsson, which means Adrian Sutil and Esteban Gutierrez will be replaced next season. Nasr had competed in practice sessions this year, and so he gets a full-time ride. And right now, he sits second in the GP2 standings with one round remaining. So can he go out high and score the championship before he takes over the Sauber ride, or is he going to come up just a little shy? We'll see what happens at their next race, which I believe would be Abu Dhabi. Meanwhile, let's go over to the IndyCar series and the Mazda Road to Indy program. However, get this, we are only 200 days away from the Indianapolis 500 of 2015, and we already are talking about the Indianapolis 500 with a ride. Ryan Herta Autosport, in partnership with BBM, has announced 2 days ago it will field a second entry with primary sponsorship from Green One. The Green One car will carry the number 97 and will be driven by former Indy Lights champion Jay Howard. The car will run in conjunction with the team's primary entry, the number 98. No driver has been signed to the 98 just yet. And for those who don't know who Jay Howard is, as I said, he's an Indy Lights champion. The last time he raced in an Indy car was actually back in 2011 when he was in the infamous Vegas race, and also raced in the Texas race, and also I believe he was in the Indianapolis 500 that year. So it's good to see him back, and hopefully he gets a few more races. Also, what was announced these past 2 days is the schedule for Indy Lights, Pro Mazda, and the USF 2000 series were announced. And so we're going to go ahead and take a look at the Indy Lights series because there are two tracks absent from this. So they start their season off at St. Petersburg, then they head to Long Beach, Barber. They'll actually have a doubleheader. As a matter of fact, all the Indy Lights races are going to be doubleheaders with the exception of Long Beach, the Freedom 100, Iowa Speedway, and the Milwaukee Mile. So let's see here. Indianapolis, of course. The Streets of Toronto is a doubleheader. They will go to the Milwaukee Mile, Iowa Speedway, and the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Now, after the IndyCar season is done, guess what? They still have one more race to go. And where are these Mazda Road to Indy cars are going to be? They're going to Laguna Seca. That's right, everybody. They are coming back to Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca September 12th and 13th. So hopefully you get to check out the Indy Lights series out there. Pro Mazda also will be hitting those same spots with the exception of Long Beach. And the Cooper Tire USF 2000 series will bring back its triple header at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. So the schedules are pretty much the same with the exception of a few differences. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting. Pro Mazda and the USF 2000 will be at NOLA Motorsports Park, but no Indy Lights over there. So that's rather odd. But we'll get some Indy Lights there next year. So that's your look at the open wheel stuff. And so now back over to Brett as we take a look at perhaps the most controversial ending to a NASCAR race to date.
It was a very interesting weekend at the Texas Motor Speedway, and we're going to start out with the WinStar World Casino and Resort 350 at the Texas Motor Speedway, as Kyle Busch led 80 laps to win the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race. There was a surprising driver that finished in second. And who was that? Well, he came from sixth and did some pit strategy and drove his way to a second-place finish. Was Jeb Burton in truck number 13. So great run right there for him. And you know, kind of got into some trouble there with his teammate in the closing lap, was able to bounce back and continue his stride and come home with a great finish. Finishing in third was Talladega winner Timothy Peters after starting from seventh in truck number 17. And the top two drivers did not lead a lap all evening long. Hey, look at some other drivers who was having a good run up until the final moments of the race, and that was Ramon Quiroga, who led 12 laps of the night in his number 77 Auerbach Toyota, and came home with a 17th place finish as he was racing for his first career NASCAR Championship Truck Series win. And then there was a surprise also in qualifying earlier in the day, and I want to mention about, and that is Brian Silas, who started his best career start in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series in that number 99 truck. So that was very interesting as well. And let's take a look at your point standings in that series. Matt Crafton currently leads by 23 over Ryan Blaney in truck number 29. Darrell Wallace Jr., Johnny Sauter, and Timothy Peters rounds out the top five of the night. So, Glenn, if you was able to watch this race, what was your thoughts on it?
Well, I got a chance to see it, and it was definitely an interesting race. I mean, you know, Kyle Busch, once he got out there, you know, there was absolutely no catching him. I mean, he and Darrell Wallace Jr. kind of like played on track, and then Darrell Wallace blew up, which, you know, how often do we see that? But the two drivers that I really want to give a call out to, how about Jeb? Oh my God, I almost said Jeb Bush. Jeb Burton and Tyler Reddick. I mean, Jeb Burton in the 13 truck, you know, he started sixth, and he kept that truck up there. In fact, I felt like that if it was just him and Timothy Peters up at the front, I think Jeb Burton would have won. And, of course, Tyler Reddick, you know, he was the pole winner and was able to lead a lap, or actually lead three laps. And it's a shame that, you know, he didn't really do much after that, but he brought back home in a great top five finish. So, you know, good job to Tyler Reddick and Jeb Burton.
I thought it was a great race, too. And, you know, always a good show for the Truckers at the Texas Motor Speedway. So, it was an interesting race for sure from watching it. And now we're going to move over into the O'Reilly Auto Parts Challenge 300 at the Texas Motor Speedway. That was a 200-lapper on Saturday. And all in all, you know, the winner from the Truck Series race the night before also went on to capture the victory for the 100th. One for Joe Gibbs Racing, and that was by Kyle Busch and car number 54 after leading 116 of the 200 laps that made up the distance. Joey Logano came home in second after starting this event from the pole. Ryan Blaney rounded out the top three in his car number 12 for Roger Penske. Your points leader, who will leave the Texas Motor Speedway, leading them by 48 over his teammate Reagan Smith, finished in the fourth position after starting from 11th after qualifying. So great job by right there by that young driver. And I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see how he does this weekend at Phoenix and could potentially lock up the championship going into Homestead for the season finale next week. A few other notables on here was Austin Dillon, who is making his first start in the series since last year at the Homestead Miami Speedway when he won the championship. He finished in seventh after starting from third. Kevin Harvick finished eighth after starting from seventh in that car number five. And then Elliott Sadler had some issues with a stomach virus. Started the race, but came down pit road after the first caution around lap one, or around lap seven, rather, excuse me, in that number 11 car and switched drivers with Clint Bowyer scrapping in. He would go on to finish ninth after starting from 17th And actually, that car also had to go to the rear of the field for a driver change between qualifying and the race. Other few notables here is Kyle Larson in car number 42 finished in 12th. And going down through here, there's not really any other notables, but, you know, it was an interesting race. And what do you think of it, Glenn?
You know, I was kind of, well, I thought it was a little bit bizarre. I mean, okay, obviously Kyle Busch dominates, you know, and so did Joey Logano. But I was surprised that Kevin Harvick wasn't up there. I mean, he started seventh and he kept it up there. But also, great job, Clint Boyer, bringing that 11 car to ninth, as you mentioned, you know, with Sather having the food sickness. And also, I'm looking at the point standings right now, and yeah, Chase Elliott could easily clinch the title. In fact, really, the only way that this comes down to Homestead is if Chase Elliott falls out of the race on lap one. I mean, 48 points, that is a difficult deficit to catch for Regan Smith. In fact, I think Regan Smith's only hope is if Chase Elliott has trouble very early in the race, and Regan Smith is perfect through the entire weekend. So, you know, it's a great battle, and, you know, if Chase Elliott does clinch the title in Phoenix, which I think he will, I think that would be really, 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 really cool for him. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen the name Elliott in the championship ring.
All right, and, you know, I think it's definitely going to be interesting to follow as far as the championship. So, you know, Chase Elliott had a heck of a year in that car. So, you know, we'll see if he can close out this weekend, but it's probably likely that he will. And Joseph is back home with us. And how you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing well, brotherly. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
That's what I like to hear.
Anyway, did you want to give us your thoughts on the Texas Truck Race or Nationwide Series race?
What'd you say?
Do you want to give your thoughts about the Texas Truck Race and the Nationwide Series race?
Ah, yes, the Nationwide Series race. Well, it looks like we're going to be having an 18-year-old champion in Chase Elliott. He's been outstanding all year long, and I think Texas proved why he's going to be the champion. I mean, he was outside of the top 10 for the majority of the day until the latter parts of the afternoon, and he just kept working on that race car of Greg Ives, and he really got it solid at the end of the day, and it looked like he was going to contend for a win, but he ended up finishing fourth, which is still a really solid day, considering how bad his car was. I mean, look where Regan Smith finished. He finished 11th, Brian Scott finished 6th, and no one else that's competing for the championship was inside of the top 10. Besides, you could consider Elliott Sadler in the top 10 since he got the points after starting the race, even though that Clint Boyer took over. But other than that, it's basically Chase Elliott's race now, and there's nothing that's going to stop him, really, unless he wrecks in, like, the first lap of the race in Phoenix.
All right, and, you know, I thought the Nationwide Series race was pretty awesome, too. And before I send it over to him, I'm going to go over to Kyle, and so that way he can give us his thoughts on the Nationwide Series or the truck race from Texas.
Yeah, I mean, for the Nationwide Series, I mean, pretty much we haven't seen Chase Elliott bobble at all this season. And it's just been showing his consistency on top of the points. And I mean, for Chase Elliott, I mean, early in that race, he kind of struggled, but he worked his way back. And coming back to a fourth place finish. And I mean, you know, pretty much with both races, I mean, one name sticks out, and that's Kyle Busch. Truck race, you know, he's leading the race late. Everybody comes in the pit, and I think he started eighth or ninth on the last restart, and second to last restart, and pretty much just drove to the outside of everybody, and was pretty much on the back bumper from Moncaroga until the green light checkered. and just drove away after that. So really, really tough break for Darrell Walsh Jr. Having the engine let go, had a strong truck, and pretty much ending his hopes of winning a championship. And I think right now, pretty much like Chase Elliott with Matt Crafton, I mean, neither of those two drivers have bobbled at all this season. And I think right now, the way it's looking, it's probably going to stay that way going into Homestead.
All right, some good stuff. And now I'm going to turn this over to Kyle to take us all the way through and talk about this past weekend's Cup race at Texas.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the weekend at Texas, just crazy. You know, but like I said, with the trucks, it's kind of nuts what happened. And then, you know, we had the Cup race on Sunday. Just a crazy weekend overall, what was going on. And, I mean, did we get to that yet about the Cup Series, or is that next?
No, we should talk about it now, though, because we have Boss Man on the line.
Who's on the line?
The Boss, Steven.
Oh. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. What's doing, Steven?
Well, other than bothering y'all on Twitter and through text messaging with all my Star Wars references and about dying and falling out of my seat here at the house, and not a whole lot else is going on. Just wanted to point out, I know y'all were talking about Chase Elliott here a second ago, and I was reading through some of the stats from NASCAR coming out today. Chase Elliott, as far as his nationwide championship this year, is he's pretty much got this sewn up. He has the potential to win at Phoenix next weekend coming up, and if he does not win the championship there, between the combined Phoenix and Homestead event, he only needs an average finish of 20th between the two events to actually win the championship, even if he doesn't win one of the events or the other.
Yeah, pretty much you're saying about Chase Elliott. I mean, he's pretty much, I mean, I would never expect him to have this much success in this such a short period of time. I mean, I saw it in the Arca Series last year. I mean, he ran 2 years part-time. Not being old enough to do that, but like you said, of course, with how much he's done in just like in a short period of time, I mean, I always think how ironic it is that Aaron's left him to go to another, to go to Michael Waltrip Racing full-time, and then Michael Waltrip Racing losing that, and then going over to Chase Elliott's team and, you know, him having all the success. And really, I mean, for Chase Elliott, I think those back-to-back wins he had early in the season really just propelled his season. So so much to look forward to coming up later in the season. And, you know, we still got two races to go in both series. And so, I mean, there's just so much to look forward to. And then I just want to, you know, go back to the Nationwide Series, talk for a brief second. I mean, pretty much it's second through fifth right now fighting for the champion, or excuse me, the points. I mean, like I said, if Chase Elliott doesn't bobble, I mean, it's pretty much his to lose. So, I mean, what else do you guys think about Chase Elliott?
Yeah, he's just flat out amazing. I mean, he has the persona of a 40-year-old when he's only our age. And it's really crazy when you think about it, especially considering he's outrunning people that are in the same equipment. He's running better than Kevin Harvick and Dale Jr. when he runs for the JR Motorsports team. Regan Smith, Alex Bowman, all these guys that are racing for JR Motorsports can't compete with Chase Elliott because he's just that good. And it's very astonishing how he keeps up with all the Cup guys on a weekly basis. And when he makes his NASCAR Spring Cup Series debut in 2015, I wouldn't be surprised if he's competing for top 20s right off the bat, which is something that not even Kyle Larson was able to do when he first came to the Cup Series.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, as far as Chase Elliott goes, and you know, a couple of years ago in 2010, I got to watch him and cover an event at Northwest Motor Speedway. He was racing in the past series that day. He was 14 years old, and Northwest Motor was a notorious track for, you know, being a driver's track, tearing up tires and things like that. And I tell you what, I watched him out there that day, and there were some drivers out there. Sterling Marlin was out there that day, as well as there's some Truck Series drivers and some other very good drivers on the track that day. Even Ryan Blaney was out there that day, and I saw him put a hurting on that field. And you can tell right there, even at 14 years old, he had amazing things to come, and he has a lot of talent that he has behind him, not only the money and the equipment, because that can only get you so far. He's got the talent, no doubt, and when he moves into the Cup Series in either 2015, 2016, whenever they make the full-time adjustment over to that, he's going to be somebody that you're going to have to watch for, most definitely.
Yeah, and I think what Hendrick Motorsports and Junior Motorsports are doing right now is they're handling it perfectly right now. They're not rushing Chase Elliott up so fast. They're giving him 2 years in the Nationwide and will be Xfinity Series next year, and hope maybe in a Cup ride in 2016. And I'm just wondering what'll happen, with the organization. I mean, will a driver have to leave in the Hendrick stable, or will they maybe have to go to a satellite team in 2016? But we don't know yet. And I know Hendrick has plans. I mean, I didn't think Chase Elliott would have ran this well Nationwide this year, to be honest with y'all.
And,
I thought a truck ride would be good for him this season, having so much success. And regardless of what happened in Mossport, that was just an incident, I think. I mean, in my opinion, I think Ty Dillon just left the inside open, and, Chase Elliott was there. But, that happens, and... like I said, the ARCA deal just so much success. I think Chase Elliott, other than having an issue at Kentucky in 2013, I think other than that DNF he had, I think his worst finish was 10th in that series. So it just shows you how much success he's had at his age. So any other thoughts you guys want to add?
Yeah, I just think that you're going to see next year, he's going to still be the top guy fighting for the championship. But Brian Scott stays at RCR, which he might from what it seems like, but he also might jump to the Cup Series, so it'll be interesting to see what happens for that. But if he does stay in the Nationwide Series, he's going to be right up there, I think, battling with Chase Elliott. He struggled in the first half of the year, but ever since, he's really been warming up, and he's been in the top 10 every single week fighting for top fives. Another guy you're going to have to look out for is Elliott Sadler with Roush Fenway Racing at that new team. He's replacing Trevor Bayne. And the biggest competition, I think, for Chase Elliott is going to be Chris Buescher. Roush itself, they're announcing Kevin Kidd's coming on board for Roush. He's a crew chief at Joe Gibbs Racing for Matt Kenseth from the Nationwide Series. And they're having Mark McArdle come along. He's from Furniture Row Racing. They're having some really good guys coming into place for them. I think that's going to help their Nationwide team. And Chris Buescher has been extremely impressive this year. And even though he missed Daytona at the beginning of the year, he's in the top 10 in points. Very solid position. He's racing inside a top 15 on a weekly basis. And if this little team could get some sponsorship together, he's going to be contending for wins on a weekly basis for Roush.
Yeah, Chris Buescher has been doing a great job this year. I think a lot of people underlooked him at times, they also have, with Trevor Bayne and Ryan Reed. And Chris Buescher's has been like the hidden talent that nobody has really noticed. Of course, winning that race in Mid-Ohio, I think he ran that race perfectly. Just staying in the top five all day, and then, of course, just everything fell into place and he won. And you know what? And that race was not given to him either. He had to work for that. Just everything fell perfectly, and he wound up winning the race. And I wasn't shocked at all when he won that race either, because he was good. He's been good on road courses before, so in pretty much every track. But I do definitely agree with you, Joseph. I really think going into next season that Chris Buescher could be a possible championship threat to Chase Elliott. I mean, we're still looking how the season's going to play out next year. We have Elliott Sadler going to Roush next year. That was announced over the weekend. And then third car, pretty much, I think it's still going to be a three-team operation over there at Roush Fenway. And then, of course, you know, Junior Motorsports going to have the two cars and probably the third car, which will be the 88, which is now, it's now the 5, but will be the 88 next season. So definitely going to be interesting next year and what will happen. So moving on, guys, I believe we have our guests on the line, and that is ARCA driver Brennan Poole.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Doing well, yourself?
Yeah, man, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Brennan, want to get down to business here. Just announced the deal, 10 races next year with Team BCR Racing. How did that come to fruition, and what are you looking forward to?
Well, of course I'm looking forward to Daytona in February. And the test is about December. I really just can't wait to get in the car again, you know, as ever since Kentucky, I just can't wait to get back in the car. But, the PCR guys had talked to me a little bit last year, and, they were interested in Howard, the team owner, and they kind of had an opportunity to, with some of their sponsors and stuff they had already going on, to put this deal together, and they approached me about driving the car, and I didn't really have much going on, and I thought it was a great opportunity, and I feel really blessed that they offered it to me, to go drive a nice car. It's had a lot of success over the past couple of years with several wins, with Grant Enfinger driving it, and hopefully we can go do the same thing and be successful for all of our partners. And I'm just really looking forward to the year and running those 10 races down all the intermediate tracks. And hopefully get that
90
car to the
three
lane a few times.
Yeah, Brennan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you've raced a Toyota in every single ARCA event you've been in during your time at Venerated Motorsports. Now going over to Team BCR, who runs Forza, how do you feel about that?
I haven't really driven much of anything different than a Toyota in a long time. I've driven a Toyota on every intermediate start that I've ever made. I've driven a Chevy a few times in the short track stuff back in 2011. I feel good about it. Sports had a lot of success last year. They went to victory lane several times, and I feel like we can do the same this coming year. They've had a lot of success. I'm really kind of excited about making a change, seeing what it feels like to drive something different, and different guys, and I've always Venerated's done a great job for me. They've been an awesome team to be a part of, and be a part of this incredible family organization, and they've done a lot to me in my career, they've had nothing, I have nothing but good things to say about them, and they've had nothing to support towards me, and I'm excited about get behind the wheel again, and get behind the wheel of a car that's had gives me a lot of confidence in what we can do with that force this year.
Brennan, you've done it all this year. You've been a driver coach, a spotter, and even a racer as well. Going over to Team BCR, are you going to also maybe serve as a mentor role to some of the other drivers over there as well?
Yeah, I do whatever I can to help the team out in any possible way. And I know they're looking at running a few different guys throughout the year in that 88 car. And I have no problem passing on any of my knowledge. I Justin Allison, I talked to, several races throughout the year. We raced with BCR last year. So I really don't have a problem coaching or passing on any knowledge or anything that I may know to a rookie or an up-and-coming guy. At the end of the day, we're all competitors, and I'm out to win the race. I'm also one of those guys who likes to see young guys up and coming in this sport, and I want to see them be successful as well, and try to bring some new young talent up through the ranks. It's really exciting for our sport, and I think it's an exciting time for our sport for these young kids who are coming up. I think in the next few years, we're going to see a lot more young guys. A lot of guys talk about Chase Elliott and Chris Buescher, and all these young guys that are coming up through the ranks, Ryan Blaney. And, you know, I feel like if we can get, you know, a bunch more of guys just like them, you know, there are extremely talented kids, you know, who are coming up. And, you know, I think getting them on the track is just going to be when we all get on the track together at once. I mean, can you imagine having 10 Kyle Larsons and 10 Ryan Blaney's and 10 Chase Elliott's all on the track at one time? It's going to be something to watch. So I'm excited for the next few years in our sport. I think it's going to be something really great to watch. And you know, I'm just hoping that I can be a part of it and I can move up along with it and do something that I really love to do and win races, you know.
Yeah, one more for you, Brendan, before I leave it to the other guys. Speaking of young talent, of course, you worked so much with Justin Boston this year. Not sure exactly what he's doing yet in 2015, but will you continue to give him some advice going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Justin and I are good friends. You know, Justin has given me advice at times, and I've given him a lot of advice over the years, you know, on the driving side of things. And, you know, I don't see us not being friends, you know, because of the change. I have no idea what Justin's going to be doing next year, but, I wish nothing but the best for him, too. And you know, hopefully I'm racing against him or I'm watching him, you know, race on Saturdays in the Nationwide Series or whatever it may be that he ends up doing. I know he's trying to move forward with his career, whether it be trucks or Nationwide or whatever he decides to take on. But, you know, I it's been fun working with him over the years. It's been fun racing against him and being his teammate, and maybe we'll be teammates again someday. I don't know, but I think if we do race against each other again this year in ARCA, I think we're just going to be even more competitive with each other because we're not teammates now, you know. But we joke all the time about running into each other and stuff, racing hard. So I think it's going to be I think it would be awesome if we got to race again against each other.
All right, well, I guess I'll go ahead. So yesterday, ARCA announced you could run this new K&N Pro Series car style body on a mile or less on the ARCA short tracks. And so I just want to ask, what is your thoughts on that, and how is it going to improve the both series?
Well, you know, I think the cars look really good. You know, I think that they're sharp looking race cars, and they're trying to do some things to help make it a little bit more affordable and make it a little bit more fair for some of the other teams. You know, so everyone's kind of running the same thing. You know, we all have the same body. You know, you can't really, you know, mess with it too much. You know, like you can with the steel body cars. You know, so they're trying to just level the playing field out a little bit. I definitely think it's a good thing, you know, and I'm excited to see what it's gonna be like to race on at a short track. I know the bodies are a little bit lighter, and you know, that means we can put some weight in a few, you know, where we want it, and kind of makes the cars handle a little bit better. But you know, the spec motor that ARCA is going to this year has really got me, you know, wondering what's going to happen with that deal. We're still able to kind of run the older motor if we want, you know, but with the spec motor making a little bit more power, but running a little bit lesser RPM, having the older motor where we can run more RPM, we have a little bit less horsepower. So it's going to be interesting, I think, this year to see what a lot of the teams do as far as a new motor they're coming out with. It's just going to be interesting to see. I think there's just so many variables there with that deal. It's going to really kind of mix things up as they're trying to phase this new motor in and these new bodies in. I think it's going to be interesting. But I definitely think the body deal is cool, man. I mean, they look like the Cup cars. I mean, it's pretty sweet. So I think it's a plus. But You know, I just phasing it in, you know, I think this year is going to be a little bit difficult. And once we get everything phased in, I think it's going to be really awesome for both series. I think it's really neat and kind of it's pretty cool and kind of helps the fans relate to our cars maybe a little bit better, at least some of the newer fans, the guys who watch us on TV who may be new to the sport, you know, and it looks like the Cup cars is kind of cool. And man, I think it's gonna be fun. I mean, I think it's gonna make the series interesting with the engine deal coming in. The bodies are just kind of, you know, the bodies will phase them in over time. And, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. But the engine deal on the ARCA side, I think to me is kind of the interesting thing. And really seeing what some of the teams do. And I know the Toyota teams are kind of forced to do it because the older Toyota motor, there really isn't one. So they're gonna have to run the spec motor. So it's just really going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with that deal. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
Which track, you know, I know short tracks, there's not really an advantage, but which short tracks do you think that we're going to see more improvement since they are going to the lighter car for those? Or you have the option to go to the lighter car on those?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can take weight off the car is better. Just because you can put it where you want it. Get weight off the right side tires. Like Salem, for instance, it's just so hard on tires, so abrasive. You know, the lighter the cars are, it's just better. You know, it's just easier on the tires. And you know, places like Berlin, even Winchester, a lot of the short tracks, you know, just it makes a huge difference. You know, so I think those places are gonna be huge. I know for us at BCR, you know, we're gonna have a car with a new style body on it, and we're gonna test with it and see what we can tell. You know, if there's a big difference in it or not. You know, but we have a short track car that ran a bunch last year and won some races, and we're gonna have that one as well. And kind of see what's better as they're kind of going through this change and what works for us and go from there. I mean, that's really all we can do is kind of test things and see where it goes. But definitely all the worn out short tracks, or the lighter body, the lighter the car is, just the better it is. It's just easier on the tires, you know.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to throw it over to Joseph.
Well, it's nice, Brennan, for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. You guys are always fun to talk to, and you know, I love answering the questions and talking about the sport and you know, the series and what I love to do. It's always fun.
That's what I like to hear. Now, you're going to be basically replacing Grant Enfinger, who won 6 races for a team before he went over to GMS. Is there any added pressure for you to go in that seat and win nearly immediately, sort of speak?
Well, I don't know if there's added pressure, but you know, I definitely know that the equipment is good enough, and that's a relief. You know, I know I'm getting in a car that's capable of winning, and you know, me and my guys this year, you know, we're gonna have to put it all together and we're going to make sure that we unload off the truck good and you know, make sure we have good handling race cars and put ourselves in a position to win. You know, Grant's a really, really good race car driver and he knows his way around a race car and setting those things up. And he was basically a crew chief and a driver himself. You know, he had a crew chief, but Grant's a guy that I look up to. He's super smart, really good with the race cars and you know, so filling his shoes is going to be tough, you know, but I want to go and you know, I want to win all 10 races. You know, I've been really good at the intermediate races in the past, and you know, I feel like they're kind of my a little bit stronger, you know, it's a little bit more of an area that I'm stronger at is the intermediate track. So I feel like if, you know, we get all this engine stuff set, figured out and you know, we can unload and have good race cars right off the trailer and make good decisions during the race and put ourselves in a position to win, that we can't go do the same thing and win a bunch of races. And you know, I'm really looking forward to working with this team and you know, it's been awesome. Howard's been great and the owner, and we've really been able to kind of put this deal together how we want it to be put together. We're really building a team that we want to have, that we believe that can be successful. And, you know, that's the key, is having faith in all your guys and trusting in all of them and in one another, and going out there and getting the job done and having a plan going into each weekend and executing it. So, you know, I feel real lucky to have them and have Howard and have all the guys that are on board right now and you know, working towards this goal of winning them all. And, you know, I definitely think I got the guys that are capable of doing it and the partners that are capable of doing it. And you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing how the year pans out. And I feel like we're all going to work as hard as we possibly can to make something good happen.
Now, as Kyle alluded to before, this is going to be the first time in a while that you're not driving a Toyota car. You're going to be driving a Ford. What differences do you expect with the Ford, the different engine, the different body style, and other things within the organization that you're not really accustomed to since you've never switched teams before?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited to feel the differences. You know, because I've only driven a Toyota on a big track, and you know, so yeah, you know, I'm curious really to just try to learn as much as I can and take what I know from the things that I've done and you know, put it in place behind the wheel of a Ford. You know, but you know, like I said, you know, the Fords have had a lot of success in the past, and last year that, you know, they won a lot of races, and you know, they've won at some big tracks like Iowa and you know, the Daytona. So I mean, you know, I feel like you know, I feel like there's not going to be a whole lot a huge difference. You know, I know there's always little things here and there, maybe how they run behind other cars just because the noses and stuff are a little bit different, but you know, I'm definitely curious myself to figure it out and feel the differences and you know, see what I can learn and grow from it. You know, it's all about learning, and the more time you're behind the wheel, the more things that you learn. So I'm really excited about running these 10 TV races. Hopefully it turns into a little bit more and we can run for the championship. You know, we're working on it, and you know, I feel like we'll have a shot at winning that thing if we get to go run all of them. So you know, we'll just see how it pans out, but I think it's going to be fun, and I'm sure you guys will have me on and we can discuss if I've told any differences. That's probably going to be all the next question next time I'm on here, but you know, I'm really not sure, but you know, they've been fast, and I know they're an awesome group of guys, and I know they've got good cars. And, you know, I'm looking forward to going out there and competing and driving a Ford. I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be different. I know that. It's different than what I've done. But every once in a while, I think change is good, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt to try is what they say. Now, when you made the announcement that you were leaving Venturini, a couple of us were a little surprised, to be honest with you. I thought for sure that you would be staying with them if you weren't going to move up the ranks. Now, what were conversations like with Billy and the rest of the team when you told them that you're going to move over to the team BCR?
Well, you know, there have been kind of rumors floating around that BCR was interested in me last year when Grant was kind of going through some deal changes and he was going to go over to GMS and they didn't really know how that deal was going to shake out, and there were talks of me driving the 90 car then. At least that's how it was presented to me at the time. And so Billy was actually the one who approached me then about going and doing it, and he made me aware that, hey, this offer may be on the table. I know they're interested and you know, I want what's best for you, and so I want to bring this option up for you to look at. And you know, nothing came of it through the year, and I stayed with Venturini, and I ran the races that we had kind of looked at and planned throughout the year, and I tried to do the best job that I could for them. And you know, when the year kind of came to an end, Howard Bixon, the guy who owns BCR, contacted me and wanted to talk to me about maybe running some races for him. And you know, so I said, okay. And then kind of went over there to talk to him. And when we worked it all out, and it was looking like it was going to happen, I you know, went over and Billy and I sat down and talked about it. And you know, we kind of came to an agreement together that, you know, it was something that, you know, I had to go do. And, You know, so it was, you know, everybody was kind of on board with it, and definitely no hard feelings or anything between any of us. It was just kind of one of those deals that we had to go do, and Venturini, you know, didn't have anything for me to for next year. And so everything was just kind of, you know, just one of those deals. You know, it just was time to move on and do something different, and you know, we all kind of understood it. It's sad, you know. I've been with Venturini for a really long time, and you know, Billy found me at Hickory Motor Speedway racing late models, and you know, gave me a great opportunity to drive one of his cars, and we went to Victory Lane together in our first start. So, you know, I've really had a great time with him, and we've really had a lot of successes together, winning 6 races, and you know, winning a Hoosier Speedway Challenge Championship, and so. You know, it's been good, and you know, they've been awesome to me, and they've been like family to me a lot of different times. And so, you know, it was just one of those things that we talked about, and it was just something that had to be done, and you know, just kind of part of the business and part of the sport, you know. But I'm definitely excited about driving the 90 car. You know, it's had a lot of success over the past couple of years, and you know, I feel like we can go in there and be successful together as a team, and I really feel like it's a good combination, and everything seems to be clicking for us, even right now in the off season. So I'm really looking forward to getting down there to the Daytona test and testing and driving a car and you know, starting this journey together with them. I think it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you're going to be turning 24 next April. This is going to be your 5th year in the ARCA series, at least on a part-time basis, possibly your 2nd full-time season. Do you feel like it's time to move up through the ranks, just like Justin is trying to do, since you guys are both around the same age and you both have nearly about the same amount of success?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, the time for me to move up is now. You know, unfortunately, the funds and the stuff for me to be able to do it just aren't there. You know, I've been racing my whole life, and I've been successful at every level. And, you know, I feel like to jump up to the next level and try to be successful is time for me. I feel like, you know, I've been successful in ARCA up until this point. So, you know, I definitely feel ready to make that jump, you know, and if I need another year in ARCA to, you know, before it's time to go ahead and move up and do those things, and then that's what I'll do. You know, at the end of the day, I still just love to race, and I want to win, and I feel lucky to be able to go out there and race, and blessed to be able to have had the successes that I've been able to have, and, you know, hopefully this year will lead to something big next year, and I can go compete in Nationwide or Xfinity Series now, and you know, or the Camping World Truck Series, and go win races there too. But I still feel like it's a matter of being in the right situation and getting with the right team and being with the right people, and that's how to be successful. And I can tell you, if I had gone a year ago or 2 years ago, you know, I wouldn't have been ready. I feel a lot better about who I've become as a person and as a race car driver, and you know, I'm really looking forward to this next year. You know, I don't know what it holds for me, but hopefully a lot of wins in that 90 car, and you know, and hopefully a way up into the next series to prove myself I'm there. But I've had a lot of great people talk to me and come up to me and tell me to keep pushing forward and to keep working. And so for some of the people who have taken notice and you know, to kind of have those guys pushing me and believing me, you know, kind of keeps me going. And so that's been cool. And I just feel like as soon as I get a break and get up there and kind of break into one of the NASCAR top 3 series that, you know, I'll be able to stay there. So, but it's, again, like I said, it's just about getting the right break and being around the right people at the right time and getting it in the right car. To be able to be successful, you have to have a race car, and you got to be surrounded by great people. And you know, I really think that's what it takes to be successful.
Now, before I pass it back on to whoever else wants to ask you a question, I have one final one for you. I know you're a giant Texans fan. It's a little mediocre this year. They got Ryan Mallett starting this weekend. How do you think they're going to do?
I hope they're gonna do better. You know, I wish we would have drafted a quarterback, a little bit earlier than we did. But I'm excited about the change in the lineup. I like Fitzpatrick. I think he's a super smart guy. They obviously feel like things aren't clicking for him, and they gotta make a change. So, I'm gonna be watching them. I got Andre Johnson and Hopkins on my fantasy football. I got the Texans D, so I'm hoping I can have a big game this coming week and maybe win some fantasy football games. I'll be watching.
All right, best of luck. Thanks again, Brendan.
Thanks.
Brennan, since you brought that up, I mean, I shouldn't mention that I'm an Eagles fan, but, I have nothing against you still. but the good thing is about the Texans, though, is it is former Penn State head coach Bill O'Brien, and I go to Penn State. So that's a good connection right there. But going back to what, your season, I mean, NASCAR season is not over just yet, but the ARCA season has concluded. Has there been a moment that just stood out to you? I mean, would the Kentucky win probably rank up high up there?
Yeah, I mean, the Kentucky win for me is probably one of my biggest wins of my career. Just because of when it happened for me, I had a lot of stuff going on sponsor-wise and people watching, and I actually left. I literally the next morning got up, like 6 o'clock in the morning and flew to Philadelphia to meet with some people and the timing of that win, you couldn't have wrote it in a storybook to be, as good as it went. It just was just the timing of it was so awesome to have everything go our way. But, I it was just really cool to win Kentucky too. I'd been there as a kid and I ran legend cars there in the little track in the infield And I remember driving my legend car into Victory Lane there as a 14-year-old, and I couldn't imagine, and I was looking out, and I'm looking at the big track, and I'm looking at all the stands, and you're so young, and it's hard to comprehend really where you're at, and I was thinking and imagining to myself to be able to stand there and be in Victory Lane there, after running a race on the big track, and then to have had that come true is amazing. But I've had a lot of this year we had a lot of cool moments. I got to run Salem on the new surface where they paved half of the track, and my first win came at Salem on the old surface, I've ran on the old surface at Salem and the new surface at Salem is kind of cool to say, and that was a cool experience. That was fun, but I've had so many awesome wins, in my career. They've all been so special to me at those moments, and they're so quick, man. I mean, you win them, and then it's over. It's on to the next one. But Michigan was a great one for me a year ago. Out dueling Ryan Blaney, I guess, if you will, at the end of that race to be able to win it was really cool. He's another just an awesome race car driver and an awesome kid. And to be able to beat him was just awesome for me, kind of gave me some confidence in myself after not being in the car for so long. That was really cool. And Pocono and Elko and just some of the short track went in the dirt race was awesome because I'm a dirt guy and I grew up racing dirt cars. The first time I ever drove a race car was on dirt in California in quarter midget. So to do that was really special. In a stock car, it was just I've just been really fortunate to have a lot of awesome and cool victories. It's just, it's just been neat. But Kentucky was huge. And then, of course, seeing Justin Boston, a good buddy of mine, win a race, win his first race ever in a stock car at Toledo was just was cool. And I spotted for him that day, so I was a part of it. And that was just that was a really cool moment and cool to see him finally get victory. He'd worked so hard, and I had seen how hard he worked. And guys who work hard, man, deserve wins, to see him win a race and to be a part of it was cool, man. I was so nervous up there on the roof, just just shaking and sweating, and it was cold out, it was just one of those type races. But so that was cool. It's just been an awesome year, and I'm telling you what, I tell people every day, I cannot wait to climb into that race car at Daytona. You know, the last time I ran Daytona was in 2012, and it was just a man to pull out of the garage area and turn left on a pit road at Daytona and know that you're going to pull out onto that track. I mean, I can't explain to you, you know, what it feels like. You know, I was getting teary eyed after the first time I went around the place. It's just so iconic and so special and so historic in our sport. You know, I really just can't wait to go pull out of the garage and pull out onto that track again in December. I just can't wait, man.
And Brendan, before we let you go tonight, you know, busy season for you. I want you to take this time. Who would you like to thank to make this season possible?
Well, you know, we have a lot of great partners, and we're announcing it coming up this week. So you guys pay attention. You know, this following week, we're going to put out another release on all the partners and everybody who's on board. You know, we've just been kind of waiting and compiling everything up and wanting to you know, put all out there, everyone who's going to be involved this year. So everybody will be, you know, that'll all be released, you know, coming up this following week. But, you know, again, for this year, I just want to thank Zaxby's and, you know, all the stuff that they've done for me this year. They gave me a lot of great opportunities, and that they have over the last couple of years, really. And you know, it's been awesome working with them and getting to know John West and his family. It's been a lot of fun. And you know, everyone who supported the Venerini team over this past year, the Identical movie, Zloop, Jags, everybody who's been a part of the team has been awesome and has helped me in some way or form throughout the year, you know, compete. So, you know, it's been a blessed year, man. I'm looking forward to this year and all of our partners. And you know, like I said, next week we'll be announcing everybody that's going to be on board. And I'm excited about it. You know, we've got some awesome and cool partners, and we're going to do some awesome ad track activation. You guys better come out to some races, and you know, I'll take you out to some of the stuff we're going to be doing. It'll be cool.
Yeah, for sure. And Brendan, I'd like to thank you for coming on tonight, and best of luck to you for the rest of the season, pretty much since ARCA is over, but still NASCAR and also next year as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and that was ARCA Series racing driver Brendan Poole, who is a man of many hats, has done it all in the racing ranks. So, guys, we still have one more topic to hit tonight. We talked about trucks and NASCAR Nationwide Series at Texas this past weekend, but we still haven't hit the most important one, the Cup Series. At the end of the night, on Sunday night, again, there was a non-chaser in victory lane, and that is Jimmy Johnson. And when you say that for Johnson, I mean, that's kind of weird. You know, being in the title hunt for the last 10 years, only driver guys ever to make the chase as well since his existence in 2004. So, but end of the night, it kind of... The show was kind of stolen by Brad Keselowski and Jeff Gordon. They're racing hard toward the end of the race. Pure Jeff Gordon was pulling away when the caution came out with four laps to go, and pretty much transpired from there on. Keselowski trying to find a hole, in his words, to get around Jeff Gordon and win the race. And keep in mind, guys, Brad Keselowski had four fresh tires compared to the leaders, so tires definitely making somewhat of an importance in that race. Of course, after the race, huge brawl between the 2 and the 24, and then Kevin Harvick pushing Brad Keselowski. Might have escalated to it, we don't know for sure, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts. What do you think about what happened, and also, of course, with the penalties that were given out, what do you think of them as well?
I thought the penalties were very fair, but I do think the crew chief line is a little too much. But for the crew members itself, it was perfect. But you have a guy punching Brad Keselowski in the face. Not to say that the crew members aren't as important as the driver. You have to understand the driver is a lot more valuable than the crew chief. A crew chief A crew member could be replaced rather easily if they get hurt. But a driver, he can't be replaced easily. For Team Penske, this could have been very bad for them if he would have gotten seriously injured. So you have to put that into consideration. The fact that they were just going at it, the Hendrick Motorsports crew. I mean, you had a guy on Casey Kane's team fighting from Jeff Gordon's crew. It was truly ridiculous when you think about it. And then the one thing I'm shocked about, though, is the fact that Keselowski's crew members weren't fine, because I did see some of them throwing punches. I guess it's just because they didn't land on the driver's face, basically, is why they didn't get fined. But to fine Kenny Francis so much is pretty crazy. Thankfully, though, Henrik Motorsports is going to cover it for all the crew members, so they're going to pay for it. But other than that, I thought the chaos was just insane. You can't have crew members fighting anymore. Bob Pockers wrote an article about it for the Sporting News the other day. He basically said, look, we can't have crew members fighting. It's not the right situation to have. And it escalated everything when it was going to be nothing. It was going to be Jeff Gordon grabbing Brad Keselowski's collar, and that's about it. But then Kevin Harvick pushed Keselowski, and then that led to this and that and that, and then bam, they just went crazy from there. Overall, it was a crazy fight, to say the least. I had plenty of people coming up to me, including professors, saying, what happened with that NASCAR fight the other day? I'm sure you guys had the same thing, so I want to hear your thoughts on it, too.
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting from here as well, you know. I mean, yeah, Keselowski, who, you know, tried to go through a hole, which, you know, I agree that hole was there. And, you know, I watched a stop-motion video this afternoon where it had, you know, it stopped really fast. And it showed that Gordon came down and Keselowski just held his line. I mean, I don't see anything neither of the two drivers did wrong. I mean, Keselowski went for the gap, and, you know, Gordon had the right to be mad about it as he was on the other end of it. But, you know, I think that NASCAR did the right thing on the penalties of not fining any of the drivers. You know, we can't have these fights on pit road. You know, it's a wonder that another media member or someone wasn't injured. I mean, you just can't have it. And poor Jamie Little was right in it all. You know, luckily she didn't get hurt neither. So I agree with the penalties. I think it was right of NASCAR not fining any of the drivers or issuing points penalties for that. But, you know, as far as the crew members, we can't have that.
No, I agree with you completely. And when you have a championship on the line and you see a hole, when you see that little hole that could fit a car through it, you're going to take that hole. There's no doubt about it. If Jeff Gordon were in that position, he would do the same thing when you think about it. Brad Keselowski entered the race a ton of points out. It looked like he wasn't going to make it to the next round unless he won the race this weekend. But now that he finished inside the top five, he at least has a shot to get it on points if he doesn't win at Phoenix. But at the same time, you have to understand, if you're Jeff Gordon, you're going to get mad. The guy could have raced you cleaner. And even though Jeff did go down slightly down the track from what I saw, like the stop motion that you said, I just think that, you know what, you have a right to be mad. Jeff Gordon was going to win that race, okay? And if he didn't win that race, which he didn't, he put himself in a bad position now. He's on the borderline of missing round three, the final round of the chase. And he entered the chase as the points leader. So when you think about it, he's in a terrible situation now. Yeah, Jimmy Johnson won the race. Good moral victory for Henrik Motorsports. Good moral victory for the 48 team. But what does that do for Jeff Gordon? It does absolutely nothing. Steven, what's your opinion on this?
Well, I'm going to do this first because Tim put me up to it, and y'all can blame him for this.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, Tim put me up to it, and I had to use that one. But I'm going to have to disagree with you guys. NASCAR, when they instituted this new chase, they needed something to show that the intensity of this new chase was well worth the marketing and the change. And I think we're seeing that exactly with the pressure that's being built up between these drivers that are out there, especially between Jeff Gordon, Kevin Harvick, and Brad Keselowski, all out there essentially fighting for their chance to move on into Homestead next week, leaving out of Phoenix. You know, NASCAR not too long ago, and a lot of people will always refer to this as the boys have at it. And they did say, you know, you take a look at some of the incidents that happened there at Charlotte, where Brad Keselowski, they get into it there. He was put on probation after that incident. But, you know, in this situation, they took it to pit road, whether it was right, wrong, indifferent. They took it to pit road. They didn't use their car on track during a hot racetrack, during a racing event to get back at one another. They took it there. Nobody really got seriously injured. It shows that the chase is actually working. It shows that the pressure and the intensity is building for some of these guys, that they have to move on, and it's showing on the racetrack. Jeff Gordon, I'll have to agree with you guys. If Jeff Gordon was in Brad Keselowski's position, he would obviously gone for it. Kevin Harvick post-race made the comment where he said that he didn't have a problem necessarily with Brad Keselowski's racing, but he just has to be willing to be able to back it up on pit road when he gets out of that race car. And I have to agree with him. I think Kevin, you know, that was a statement where I felt like Kevin understood the situation. Maybe he's a little irritated at him for this whole situation. And the other thing that I have to look at is going into Homestead, Miami next week. Some of these guys that had the potential to be knocked out after this weekend at Phoenix, if some of these guys are not in that Homestead race, they're going to make it a very, very hard time for somebody else out there on that racetrack to win that championship. And NASCAR did an excellent job with the penalties. They fined the crew members like I felt that they should be appropriately fined. They didn't do anything against the drivers, which I don't felt like any of the drivers really necessarily did anything wrong. And looking at the video after the fact, Brad Keselowski, as I alluded to, is already on probation until December 31st. He was trying to stay out of the situation, and unfortunately, I think when Kevin Harvick came in there, kind of pushed him back into the circle there, the melee started, and I don't necessarily fault Kevin Harvick for what he did. I don't fault any of the drivers. I just feel that, you know, it was good hard racing on that racetrack. Anybody in that position would have done the same thing. It came to a pit road brawl after the fact, and I think it just shows that the pressure and the intensity of this knee chase format is really working.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with what's going on, I mean, we've had these fights on pit roads and stuff between drivers. But like you said, Steve, it's pretty much, that's what it is. It's this new format. You know, it's pretty much winner, who knows, you may not make it to the next round, just how it is. And just crazy how it's been. But that's what this intensity has created with this new chase format. But it's been so exciting to watch, though. So, just crazy with what's going on. And, you know, I want to give my thoughts. I think we have somebody on the line, but before that, I want to just give my thoughts. Like you said, Joseph, Jeff Gordon wins that race. Who knows? He's in Homestead. You know, he's sitting absolutely fine this week, calm, cool, and collected. But guess what? He's not, because it's just that, you know, you're battling for that same spot, real estate, at the end of the race. And it's just crazy how that had happened. And, you know, we have 2-9 chasers winning 2 weeks, and nobody's guaranteed a spot going in the Phoenix this week. We have 18 points between the top 8 drivers. I mean, guys, think about that. It's crazy. And I think we have someone on the line. Would you like to talk about this chase format, what's been going on? Do we have a caller on the line, guys?
Yes, nobody's there.
Okay. Well, that's what Joseph told me. We had somebody. We had a caller, but I guess not there. So, unless they're there. But no, I mean, going back to that, guys, you know, I mean, crazy night in Texas. You know, no drivers got suspended or penalized, pretty much with crew members. Looked in the Phoenix. We have one more topic to get to tonight, guys. Looked in the Phoenix. Who are some of the top drivers you're looking at? And hello?
Hello.
Sorry, Tim was wanting give us some of his thoughts on the penalty.
Okay, well, Colin, what are your thoughts?
Oh, hey, this is Dennis Payne with Pit Stop Radio. How y'all doing tonight, guys?
Doing pretty good yourself?
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, my thoughts on the penalties, I know my good friend and co-host Stephen Wilson, Speedway Digest, is sitting there listening too. What do y'all think about them not penalizing the drivers? I'm glad that they didn't take that route as far as taking points or anything, but what's y'all's take on Hendrick Motorsports going to pay the, so I think it's like $285,000 fines for the crew members and everything. I think it's a really good penalty. I mean, you know, well, it's not a real good penalty because they're gonna lose some pocketbooks, you know, just like me and Steven talked about last night. But with them not taking points away, I think, like me and Steven talked, that's going to be a great thing because they don't want to mess up this chase format they got going into the last race at Homestead in Miami.
Well, I think that's a good thing. You know, the boys have that ideal kind of still lives. So, you know, I think it was right that the drivers didn't get penalized. You know, there's not one reason, you know, from watching the video where I think Brad should be penalized. And, you know, same can be said for the number two picker. You know, they had plenty of chances when that one was holding Gordon back to just clock him right in the face, but he didn't. You know, he kind of tried to calm Jeff down, you know. So I think it was just a racing deal. You know, no penalty to the drivers was necessary in this situation. And, you know, I think it's good that they didn't want to mess up the point. You know, this is a great championship format, and I really like it, and I think a lot of people also likes it. So, you know, I wouldn't want it to be messed up. And really and truly, if you take away points and the driver goes out and wins Phoenix, you know, they automatically advance. You know, there's really no point into taking points away when that is a scenario that happens.
You're right, Brett. You're exactly right. I mean, you know, with this new chase format, if NASCAR took points away, it'd be like a double-edged sword because, like y'all were talking earlier, I mean, we're going into Phoenix with some of the tightest points that we're going to have. And whoever comes out of there is going to be the final four going into Homestead. And just real quick, I know y'all busy. I know you got Steven on the side, but did you get your firewood yet from Talladega?
I have not.
Okay. All right. Brett, you can take that up with Steven, and I'll let y'all go because I know y'all got a lot going on. And thanks for taking my call, bud. Y'all have a good one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, I just want to add to that. I mean, I think it was the right call not to penalize any drivers. I mean, it's funny, you know, we talk about Brad Keselowski because this reminded me of the incident back at Charlotte in May of 2008 after a Nationwide Series race. With Keselowski and Denny Hamlin, you know, with Brad running Nationwide at the time, and then of course Denny running Cup, and then coming to Nationwide, you know, with Joe Gibbs Racing part time. But you know, they said Denny said something good. I mean, you know, didn't have the kindest words for Brad Keselowski, but you know, he said just let it go to the drivers. You know, don't let the crews get involved in, you know, brawling and stuff. I don't remember the exact quote, but that's what a basis of what he said. And, you know, and I do agree with that. I think, you know, you just need to let the drivers handle it. And I talked to some of you guys about Kevin Harvick. Was he instigating? He might have been. We don't know for sure. I won't speculate on that. But, you know, and I know there was some hard racing between he and Brad Keselowski. So it could have been a product of that for sure. So, but that I keep alluding to, that's the format is Chase. It's going to be like that. You're going to have tense moments. And I don't expect any less going into Homestead this week. Excuse me, Phoenix. Yeah, it's crazy, you know. I know we keep bringing up Homestead, but, you know, it's, you know, those final four spots that they're going to get. That whole, like last week, that whole picture changes if Jeff Gordon wins. You know, there's one less spot going into Homestead, and now we're sitting here at Phoenix, top four, like I said, still not decided. We have one final thought, guys. You know, we're talking about this. Who do you think the final four will be going into Homestead and why?
Well, you know what? I do want to voice my thoughts on the penalties and the sites because I've been very quiet about this, and it kind of left me pretty down. But this is what people wanted to see in the new Chase format was, you know, fights and drivers, you know, shedding blood and stuff like that. And all right, then we'll just turn NASCAR into a wrestling match. But really, the penalties, I don't really have a big opinion about it, but, you know, it makes me very angry at the fact that, you know, Jeff Gordon's probably not going to be in the chase. I mean, he's got to win Phoenix this weekend. He's got to win to get in. That's the only thing that he can do. And if anything else happens to him that could screw him up, I think the NASCAR fans will be out for blood. Well, the Jeff Gordon fans anyway. But really, you know, and also I do want to apologize for putting up a few tweets, you know, saying that we wanted a fight and stuff like that. That was very unprofessional of me, so I apologize profusely on that.
Okay, guys, well, you know, we're going to say that, and we'll go to the next point then. Guys, like I said, no one's guaranteed a spot going into homestead. There's only four spots available. Right now, top four are Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Newman, and, of course, Jeff Gordon. 1 point to the good right now. Like I said earlier, 18 points between the top eight. So pretty much this is an all-or-nothing race. And, you know, of course, you know, Kevin, I think this is, you know, this could be a good weekend for Kevin Harvick, of course, winning in the spring and winning three of the last four races there. So, you know, he has some good mojo on him. But I want to ask you guys this before we go off the air tonight. What do you think? Who do you think the top four guys will be going into Homestead competing for the championship, and why do you say that?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, first off, before I give them on you, I think we're going to see an interesting race here at the Phoenix International Raceway coming up. And, you know, I think it's definitely going to a lot of side-by-side racing. You know, I feel that this could be the best race of the year coming up right here. And so, you know, who's going to get, you know, I really have no idea, but one of the drivers I think that's going to advance, and, you know, I kind of had him on my list all year long to win the championship, and I think Joey Logano is definitely going to be one of them. Jeff Gordon, I think that's going to be my second driver that I think is going to advance. You know, I'm really torn on the next one. You know, you have Denny Hamlin up there. You have Ryan Newman up there going for it. You know, I can't decide who, but I think my third driver is going to be Denny Hamlin. And, man, the fourth one, I have no idea. You know, it's either going to be Newman, I think, or Matt Kenseth, but which one of those, I really don't know. So I'm thinking it's going to be Logano, Gordon, Hamlin, and Newman as my four drivers going into the final round at Homestead.
I so hope you are correct, Brett.
Does anybody else want to give their final four going into Homestead?
I'll do it. I'll go ahead and say mine. Mine kind of echoes what Brett just said. To me, I think it's going to be Logano, Hamlin, Gordon, and then the fourth driver is going to come down between Newman, Kenseth, or Edwards. And I think it's probably going to be Kenseth. And if that's the case, this could be very difficult to see who will win the championship at Homestead. But to me, it's either going to be Jeff Gordon or Denny Hamlin could possibly sneak in there and take the thing, because Hamlin does pretty well at Homestead. It could possibly be Hamlin, but also, you know, Matt Kenseth has a big goose egg by his name. He could sneak in and take home the championship, but we'll see. But I would definitely like to see Gordon in there, and if Gordon's in there, then Gordon is my pick to win the 2014 title.
Yeah, and I know a lot of drivers have been saying that pretty much that what might happen at Homestead is that the champion will win the race. I mean, we're going to see a crazy atmosphere come in 2 weeks, and we still have Phoenix to decide it. My final four, let's see. I think Jeff Gordon will get in this week. That 24 team has shown the speed, and they've shown it all season long, doesn't matter what track it is. I think Kevin Harvick will be also in there as well. I think, like I said, Phoenix is a really good track for him, and I would not be shocked if he won come Sunday, because, you know, that put on an absolute clinic in the spring, and he could do it again on Sunday as well. So that's going to be an interesting thing. I agree with you, Brian. I think Joey Logano won't get in. I think he's been consistent enough to get in. And for that fourth driver, I mean, like you say, Brian, that's a tough one to stomach. Brad Keselowski, I mean, I just don't know with him, because his track record at Phoenix, he's been hit and miss there. He's had some really good runs there, and then other days he's completely off. And, of course, you know, finishing third at Texas definitely helped him. I mean, the win would have been much better, of course, because he would have been in. You know, and going back to Talladega, of course, with that clutch moment by him winning the race and being locked into the next round definitely helps as well. So, I mean, I think for drivers, I mean, for me, I'm going to say Ryan Newman goes in the fourth driver. I think you're going to see out of this chase, he's probably been the biggest surprise, just running consistency. And I think we're going to see those four. We're going to see Logano, Gordon, Harvick, and Newman all make it a homestead. And like I said, we're going to see a fantastic 2 weeks coming up. And, you know, we'll preview Homestead next week as well. So guys, it's been a great night of talk tonight. You know, we've hit everything tonight. We've had Brennan Poole, thanks to him as always, with what he does. And I hope, you know, we have hopefully two more shows this season. And, you know, we go out with a bang. So until we meet again, everybody, have a great night.